Okay, our next speaker today is Dr. Randy Reed. Randy is a colleague of mine at the Dust Ventilation and Toxic Substances branch of NIOSH Pittsburgh, and he has his doctorate in from Virginia Tech in mining engineering. And the title of his presentation today is a laboratory investigation of underside shield sprays to improve longwall water directional spray systems. Randy.
All right, thank you. I'm going to present on our lab investigation of underside shield sprays. I want to thank Scott Klima for helping me with the assisting me with the evaluation of the results. Jim Ryder had conducted all the experiments, and he had since retired. So we had a lot of work to do to examine these results, and we're going to show you some preliminary results. So basically, the longwall shear is one of the highest sources of dust, respirable dust. It provides about 40% of the respirable dust at the longwall face. Other locations are shield movement, stage loader, and just other dust sources like from the intake. The idea of the underside shield sprays is to place like two sprays on the underside of the shields located here, and they provide a wall of water that prevents dust from the shear. Well, actually, these are in front of the shear, the ones we tested. Keeps a rock, the coal that spalls off the face, keeps that dust from generating and, well, keeps that dust from entering into the walkway and exposing the workers. Basically, when we were talking with Jim, he saw a lot of these on long walls, or about 20% of the long walls had them in 2011. And he said every time he looked at them, they all had different configurations. So we were going to try to investigate different configurations and determine optimum parameters for setting your long wall shield sprays. We wanted to evaluate for the optimum parameters. Basically, when these are installed, they actually move with the shear. In our gallery, we could not move them because our shear does not move. And so these sprays automatically activate and deactivate. There were times when Jim was out there, he saw tailgate shield sprays also. We only investigated the headgate drum shield sprays for this testing. And these are the setting parameters that we looked at for the shield sprays. We looked at distance from the face. We looked at 4.5 to 5.5 feet, those three distances there. Spray orientation was measured from the roof, from the face, so at 45, 60, and 75 degrees. And we looked at different water pressures for the sprays, 100, 150, and 200 PSI. The underside sprays that we tested were the spraying systems 61-20-15 at those water pressures. And then we tested BD3s on the splitter arm sprays. And when we were testing, our ventilation rate through the gallery was at 700 feet per minute. So this is the locations. We looked at upwind of the splitter arm, at the drum centerline, ranging motor, shear, and tailgate. And we placed sampling stations both at the spill plate and at the pontoon. This is a diagram that shows our sampling locations. You can see the underside shield spray locations up here in front of the shear. The splitter arm would be in this area right here. And the blue shows the spill plate sampling locations, and those are right at the spill plate. And then the pontoon locations, what we call pontoon locations, are located back in the walkway. We also sampled downwind of the shear, and we actually moved the sampling stations in the center line of the entry or of the shear, and then at the spill plate location. This is another diagram just showing where everything was located. This is a side view. We only had one set of sprays, so they are either here at 4 feet or back here, that's 5.5 feet, and then we had another, we would move them in between for the 5 foot testing. This is a setup of where our samplers were located at the splitter arm. This is where we put our samplers, and then right back behind on the pontoon is where the other set were. So this is a picture of our testing, and basically this is, we're just running the splitter arm and the underside shield sprays. There's no dust in this picture at all. You can see our samplers are located here and then back here. And we were using PDMs for our sampling of these locations. And so basically that's the setup of where we were setting. This goes all back to the drum center line and then the ranging arm motor. Our test sequence, we started with dust only, and then we did that. We tested that for 15 minutes, and then we waited 3 minutes to allow everything to stabilize. And then we tested dust and splitter arm sprays, waited another 3 minutes. Dust, splitter arm sprays, and underside shields at 100 PSI. And then we went down through the sequence of 150, 200 PSI. Then we repeated just dropping off the underside shields and then back down to dust only. So it ended up being about a 2 hour long test when we did this for each parameter setup. This is just a picture showing dust only. We had our, we introduced dust here in this location right in front of the shear. That was to try to simulate the coal spalling off the face and any dust generator from that. This is showing the splitter arm and the dust. You can see the dust tends to move into the walkway further downwind of the shear. And this is the setup with the dust and the splitter arm and the underside shield sprays. And you can see back here in the back that it's pretty clear with the dust. So we did not target a baseline concentration. We just basically provided a constant feed rate of coal dust. And so the baseline varied throughout our testing, and it could be dependent upon location of the sampling, location of where the dust was introduced, air properties, and the different days be more humid than others days, or and then ventilation variations, basically because the conditions of the system. So we normalized for baseline dust concentrations by taking the dust concentration results at each location, or for each at each location, for each condition: splitter arm 100 psi, underside shield 150 psi shield, and 200 psi underside shield. And we divided that by the dust baseline to come up with a ratio. And we used that for comparison. And we used an ANOVA analysis for comparison of this. And we conducted at 95% confidence levels. And we only looked at the, right now we've only looked at the drum centerline location for the statistical analysis. But I think all the results will show that all the other locations too. So when we looked at all the data for this drum center line, we're comparing angle and distance and the water pressures. There was a statistical significance for all the angle and distance and for the underside shield sprays, whether they were off or at different operating water pressures. This shows the reported error there is 0.008 for the spill plate and 0.009. There was also, for the pontoon sampling locations, there was a statistical significance for those for all water pressures. Okay, this goes into some of the results. And this is, we further splitted the data out at looking at spray angles first. And this is the 45 degree spray angle. And so you notice that the drum center line here, splitter arm is really close to one. And now, and with the ratio of one is basically your baseline and your splitter arm locations are the same. So there's a small reduction using the splitter arm. But when you start the underside shield sprays at 100 PSI, you can see there's a significant reduction of about 40%. Or the reduction is actually 60%. The ratio is 40%. If you take 1 minus the ratio, you'll get your reduction. And so you look at the drum center line with 150 PSI, it decreases even further. And with 200 PSI, you get your best results. And this trend seems to continue throughout all the testing that we conducted. And in this one, when we conducted the ANOVA analysis, there was no statistical significance for distance for the 45 degree angle. So it really didn't matter if you were 5 foot from the face or 5.5 foot from the face when using 45 degree. At 60 degree, we tested all three locations. And again, you see the trend where increasing pressures provides better results with the underarms, with the splitter arm and the underside shield sprays. And it continues throughout all the locations. In this one, there was a statistical significance for distance. And in this case, it looks like it's about 5 foot. Well, no, 4.5 foot from the face was the best for the 60-degree angle. When we looked at the 75-degree angle, there was also a statistical significance for that. And at 4.5 feet, that seemed to provide the best protection for against respirable dust. You can notice that towards the downwind at the shear and at the tailgate, this is the tailgate shear, the underside shields seem to provide less protection. They're still providing protection, but it's not as great as it is at the upwind splitter arm and the drum center line. When we look at distance at the pontoon, again, there was no statistical significance for distance at the drum center line sampling location. And increasing pressures also improved your protection. 60 degrees, there's no statistical difference for distance also for 60 degrees, so it didn't matter where you place these. And, of course, the pontoons are further back in the walkway, so it's less affected. And then 75 degrees, you can see that the 4.5 foot from the face works the best. And there was a statistical significance for distance at that one, at the drum centerline location. So basically, looking at the preliminary summary, the effect of spray distance is dependent upon the spray angle geometries. And at the spill plate location, the smallest 45 degree angle, the distance did not matter. 60 degrees angle, the protection was dependent more on water pressure. And it had a better protection further downwind. At 75 degree angle, the smaller distance was the best. And further downwind of the sprays, there was less protection provided. So basically, you want your operators to be up in front of the shear. Steeper angles provided better protection, especially at the upwind splitter arm and drum center line. Pontoon locations, all angles seem to work very well. A steeper angle seems to provide a better wall protection, but it doesn't prevent dirty air from entering the walkway further downwind. And, of course, higher water pressures do provide better protection. This is looking at distance, comparing distance, and then we're looking at different angles. And we didn't conduct any statistical analysis with this, but this is just to show you what the data looks like preliminarily. And you can see 75 degree is pretty good at 4.5 feet. It seems to perform better. Well, actually, the 60 degree angle works better downwind, but the upwind at the drum, at the splitter arm in the drum center line, the 75 degrees seem to work better. And this is at 5 foot, and you can see the different degree angles. And again, the 60 degrees seem to work better on this one. And then at 5.5 feet, we looked at 45 degrees and 60 degrees, and you can see the 60 degrees seems to perform better at the 5.5 feet. Again, we didn't conduct a statistical analysis on these on the distances comparing the angles, so that'll be a future work. So in conclusion, the undershield sprays seem to work for whatever angle and distances that you use. They'll decrease your respirable dust exposure for your personnel in the mining phase. Splitter arm sprays surprisingly did not work as well as we thought they would. In most of those cases, they did provide some protection, but it wasn't near as much as with the splitter arm, underside shield spray. And the mining personnel are best protected at the upwind splitter arm and drum center line. And both spill plate and pontoon locations had pretty good protection. So at these locations, the best parameters for minimizing dust concentrations were at the 75 degree angle and 4.5 foot distance away from the mining face, and using 200 PSI water pressure seemed to be the best. However, the 60 degree angle did seem to provide more protection downwind, further downwind than the 75 degree. So basically, like I said before, any combination of parameters for the underside shield sprays provided better protection than just the splitter arm itself. But you could optimize it better by using the 75 degree angle and 4.5 feet distance from the face. And that's it. Is there any questions? Yes.
Did you have the shear clear system in operation during this testing, or any other water sprays on the thing?
Just the splitter arm and the underside shield sprays.
So there would be no comparison, like if you had between the shear clear and the canopy sprays? Okay, thank you.
Do you have a question? That's all right.
Thanks. I'm not an engineer, but so from what I understand, it sounds like everything is pretty consistently protective across the length until we get to the tailgate,
yeah.
Right? Is there a plan once you find this kind of optimal angle, PSI, distance, that angle can be adjusted as you move?
Well, the other thing, let's see, let's go back. I don't know if I can. Yeah, it's not allowing me to go back. When you looked at the diagram of where the sampling was, at the two last sampling locations, we moved the samplers closer to the face. So probably we should probably go back and do some additional testing with the samplers in the same locations so we have a straight line of samplers, and then we can get a better indication of downwind in the walkway if there's a better protection there or not. Because I assume that on the pontoon locations, I would think that it would prevent the air or the dust from entering in that area. But it still might increase because it is downwind. But I would think it would provide better protection. We just didn't test those at the pontoon locations, and that's where the actual workers tend to walk, although they do tend to lean up against a spill plate sometimes, from what I understand. So probably further testing would be needed for that. Now it's going back. All right. Thank you.